Hi, I'm Simon Campbell.
And I'm Susie Starlight.
Welcome to the Supertone Show.
The vegetable man in the vegetable van with the horn that's honking like a mariachi band. In the middle of the street, people gather around. Put the dollar in the can. I wait. K on the TJ Cowboys hang around. Sleeping in the sidewalk with a Burger King crown. Never wake them up. Mas cerveza to the rooster crows. Vatos vergallos. Chevas on cheap guitars, abuelitas with plastic bags, walking to the church with the Spanish candles. Dirty Baracho says, que putas, andale joto, your popsicle's melting. Run, better run, do run, run. In the midnight sun. Replays, Guatemalan soccer ball, it's the replays. Mango ladies, vendedoras at a bus stop, sing a band of macho chorus.
What?
Beck, Que Onda Quiero, from his ninth studio album, Quiero, released on the 29th of March in 2005 on the Interscope record label.
Beck. Love him. I defy anybody not to dance when that kicks up, because every time it comes on,
it's true,
we break out into some ridiculous sort of pseudo-American sort of dancing. I don't know
you
what it
your
is.
Groove
but
on.
But and we I, do get a funk.
And your arse sticks out and you go dancing around the kitchen.
Yeah, I do. My arse sticks out.
And your arms go up and you're like, oh, yeah.
Now, the thing hook. About this track, I've got to tell you about this track. Because this track, I had only ever heard this album once a long, long time ago. And it was a friend on Mastodon. This is the social media thing we keep talking about every week. And we're on Mastodon. Some very intelligent comments on there. And this came up as one of the albums that they were listening to. And I thought, I need to listen to that again because I couldn't remember it. And I put it on and I thought, my God, why have I not listened to this for so long? Because Odelay, which was the one that really got me into Beck. I mean, I heard Loser, the single, of course, and that was really cool. But Odelay was the first track, the album I got into. And I remember listening to it on a boat, and we were driving, me and my mate Rennie Alcock, Ren, and we were driving to a dive site because I was doing a lot of scuba diving at the time. And we're driving there, and I had my CD Walkman there, my Sony CD Walkman, and I had this album in, Udler, and I was just grooving out. And Ren said, what are you listening to? I said, listen to Udler, man. It's like really loud because the boat and stuff, it was like a rib. So anyway, so that's my Udler story. But Beck's always, again, been with me in and out of my consciousness, but I completely missed this one. So
yeah, I've kind of missed him completely. In a way, you know, when you know someone, but you maybe know songs, but you don't know, you couldn't say, oh yeah, that song, and hum it back.
Yeah,
it's like I've always thought he's been cool. I've got to say, by the way, that this album was recorded at The Boat, Silver Lake.
No, The Boat. Oh, it is.
So I just thought it was really funny. He was talking about The Boat and at the Mad Hatter and the Sound Factory in LA. It was produced by Beck and John King and Mike Simpson of the Dust Brothers. And they worked on the 1996 album, Odelay.
Indeed they did.
So interesting. So I was thinking, right, who is this guy? You know, because sometimes, well, life's busy and sometimes you've got to have a reason to go to find out a bit more. So hopefully the show helps you just find a little bit more because we're kind of doing this together as well as... So what was his name? He was born...
Hanson.
Beck, David, nope.
Go on.
Campbell.
No!
Get out of here! Right, and when was he born?
Well, I don't know, because you know something? You have these secret notes now that I can't
see. I'm not
say.
Even going to write it.
Go on.
Date of birth, 8th of July.
No.
My birthday. Okay, he was 4 years younger than me.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, yeah, I know. I just thought this is like a really crazy thing.
Right,
so,
well, just
on,
while we're talking
talk to me,
about
talk to
notes,
me, darling.
Notes.
Go
let's
on.
Talk about notes because the producer, right, the producers, the Dust Brothers.
Yes.
What is the connection with the Dust Brothers and Manchester? That's what I want to know.
A cleaning product?
Easy Mike and King Gizmo. Those are the Dust Brothers. Well, the existing Dust Brothers.
Yes.
Well, the original Chemical Brothers called themselves Dust Brothers.
No way.
And they tried to buy the name off the Dust Brothers, but they wouldn't sell it. And there was a bit of a fallout between the Chemical Brothers, i.e. Manchester, and the Dust Brothers, LA. Anyway, so they resolved the differences, and the Dust Brothers eventually produced one of the Chemical Brothers tracks. But there you go, from our home city, or my home city, Manchester,
well,
you're adopted.
Yeah, my spiritual home is Manchester.
Yeah, so, and what is Guru?
Or Gero.
Gero.
Okay, right, let's do a little bit of backtracking here, okay. So what is Beck known for? I'm going to tell you a little story.
Beck is known for sampling stuff and creating great shit from nothing. Well, lots of different things, basically. And with
I
some
think
very
you
unusual
it really well.
Guitar parts that don't really fit, but fit perfectly.
Right, you can do the notes
anyway,
next week, because that's like cut like two paragraphs out, because you just said it better than I've written it, which is great.
All right.
So Giro, or do you remember when we lived in Spain for 4 years, and it used to be called a Giri, which is like... in
foreigner.
Ross, yeah, a foreigner, a tourist. So in Ross and Wye, where I grew up, in Herefordshire, Rhind. But we would call the tourists grockles. So there's grockles.
And in Settle, where I spent a lot of time, they call you Offcumdens.
Offcumdens. Mm. See, but it didn't begin with a G.
No, no, no. Anyway.
Offcumdens. So we have grockles and gyros and gerries and gyros. So that was a Mexican slang for a blonde-haired, fair-skinned Caucasian. And que onda gyro is Mexican slang for what up, whitey.
Okay.
So the story goes, so we've got a couple of two things really about Beck. One, he was raised in a prominently Chicano area of LA. So the term gyro is what he heard growing up on the street or on the way to school. Mm-hmm. He was the only white child at his school.
No.
Yeah. And he quickly learned how to break dance.
I bet he did.
Yeah. He discovered the blues. He picked up a guitar at 16 and he was playing Lead Belly and Blind Willie Johnson. And you know what? I love this story. He didn't get into the performing arts school, not that bit, right, in downtown. So he used a fake ID so that he could sit in the library and attend classes at Los Angeles City College.
Amazing.
He just went in and went, ah, oh, fuck it, excuse me, I'm going to do
it. Well, he's definitely got attitude, Beck. He always has had, you know. He always has that look about him as though he means business.
And, yeah.
And you know, over the years, he's had some tremendous work. Recently, I've got to say, I listened to some tracks of his recent stuff the other day, and it just didn't get me. It felt as it wasn't Beck anymore, you know.
I can see that. But, you know, I've started to think as well that when you expose a child to lots of different influences, I think they really get a head start. Mm. So his dad, David, was a composer and
David
a conductor.
Campbell.
Yeah, okay. Obviously.
Okay, go on, yeah.
His grandfather, Al.
Al Campbell?
I don't know, what was his name? No, hang on a minute, give over. Right, his mother is BB.
Campbell.
Hanson.
Oh, right, okay.
So I'm getting confused now. All I know, see, the thing is I know he was born a Campbell, but the main thing is, right, his grandfather, Al, was a pioneer in the avant-garde Fluxus movement. And that is a movement that emphasised the process over the finished product. It was more about the journey as opposed to the arrival.
Right.
Yeah. So his grandfather, Al, was also an early pioneer of the Happenings movement, which was sparked in 1958, I love this story, when Alan Capro, Dick Higgins, and a handful of others took an influential class taught by John Cage at the New School of Social Research. And it continues. His mother, Beck's mother, Bibi, or it's B-I-B-B-E, Bibba, okay. Bibba, I think. She participated in her father's performances and tagged along with him to see underground film screenings that were attended by Andy Warhol, who she later would collaborate with on a couple of films. As a teenager, she also lived with the daughter of Jack Kerouac. Her name was Janet. So you've got his mum, you've got his father, and I think it's one of the family, they were post-World War II, pushed a piano off the side of a jetty or something, off the side of a building. I mean, it was like...
crazy.
And then Beck and his sibling did the same thing years and years later. So all you're looking at is this melting pot of complete... can you imagine if you're set
chaos
around,
and confusion.
Well, yeah,
and
also questioning, of intelligent questioning and not just, you know, sucking up the narrative that seems to be dished out today. Go bugger off.
it's dry again. Oh love, you're hard to leave with some.
To wait for that beautiful reverb tail to end before I did the link. That was The Wave, Undyne, from their debut studio album, The Wave, released on the 3rd of February 2023 by Transgressive Records. Produced by the band, Graham Coxon, of Blur, of course, Rose Eleanor Dougal, the Pipettes, and James Ford, who is the producer of the Arctic Monkeys, Florence and the Machine, Foals, Depeche Mode, and La Shadow Puppets, who he has played with as well.
Of course.
Yeah, and very, very interesting record. I'm still not sure whether I like the album. It seems the songs seem slightly formless, but the more you listen to it and the more you sort of get into it, there's a lot of tension in that. In the middle, there's something happening, and I think it's underlying synths or sax or something he's doing that is unsettling you right in the middle of it. And she's just got a beautiful, really has got a beautiful voice. I love her voice. You know, it's a classic English-sounding voice, a bit like yours. You know, you have a distinct sound, she has a distinct sound. But it's an English sound, it's not an American sound. And he's not a great singer. But it's got something. It got me to listen to it
character.
The other day. It's got character. So there's a lot of depth there, I think. And I think the next record that they bring out, I think we may reveal something else. It seems like they're experimenting here, you know. But, you know, I've always been a big Graham Coxon fan because I've always been a big fan of his guitar playing. I mean, when I first heard Song 2 by Blur, it just blew me away because I just didn't know what to think because it's such a crazy, ridiculous song, and then all this guitar comes in, and it's fiendishly distorted, and it's got such attitude, an incredible attitude, you know, but he's always captivating me. I've never seen him live, Blur. So there we are.
Haven't you?
No,
neither have I. Interesting though, you're right about when we were just having dinner earlier. We played the album again because I'm of the same opinion. I'm just letting it soak. It feels like I've put a new washing powder in the washing machine. I'm not sure how my clothes are going to turn out. Is it going to do a real good wash, or is it going to leave something there which I need to have, or it's going to, you know, it just feels like there's something new, which I can't quite enunciate yet. But
well, the first time I listened to The Smile, you know, I listened to The Smile three or four times.
I remember walking in and saying, because they were on my birthday, and I said, I'm not going.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't make sense of it.
And then, you know, it's just one of our favourite albums one of our favourite albums.
I went back and I just thought, that's just without trying, you know.
Yeah, the other interesting thing is this is recorded at Graham Coxon's home studio in North London. And, you know, and again, being honest about it, it doesn't have that sonic quality that it doesn't jump out to me.
Quite close.
It's a nice production, an interesting production, but it sounds sonically not as clear and as rich as
a bit dusty maybe.
Expect,
yeah,
maybe
not.
Do you know what I mean?
Rooms,
I don't know.
I know what you mean.
It might be meant to be like that.
I've got to celebrate them though. Like Graham and Rose, they met. I think it's in 2004. I think in one of the stories, he said that he bought a. They were having a chat after a gig, and he bought her a quadruple rum or something had a chat. But they met at a fundraiser at the Lebanese Red Cross at the Jazz Cafe in Camden Down a couple of years ago, and they started writing together, and so they started dating, and so they've made an album, and they've also made a baby girl together.
That's lovely.
Isn't that great? Congratulations. So they formed this band on equal terms, and when you read the interviews, they say this is very much a band, it's very much on equal terms. And what I like about this whole kind of, well, what are we listening to, right? So they cite, this is on the website, they cite Sandy Denny, John and Beverly Martin, Kevin Ayers and Van de Graaff Generator as reference points for their debut album.
Van de Graaff Generator, no, that's a band. Yeah. I think we've had some Van de Graaff Generator on a few shows, 20 or 30 shows ago. I think we might have to revisit Van de Graaff Generator.
Well, you know what? You can actually go and see the guys on tour because they're going to be playing Band on the Wall. I used to work at Band on the Wall. I've played there as well.
So have I.
And we have, haven't we?
Yeah.
And Chalk in Brighton. In fact, they've got a UK tour in March. And so check them out if you live in the UK and you want to go and see them live. And one thing as well, the use of the saxophone. Coxon, apparently, was his first instrument.
Well, I didn't know that either.
Yeah. And it kind of, and they're saying that he uses it as a weapon of dissonance and unease. It's not like a typical sax solo.
Ah, well, there you are, the weapon of dissonance.
Dissonance and unease. A weapon, the sax. Yeah, there you go. And so they talk, this is one thing as well, when you look into this kind of style, and they were talking about these centuries, I love this, of obscure folk tradition and a mistrust of isolated rural communities have helped birth a rich vein of pastoral horror in British music and film, the Incredible String Band and the Wicker Man in the 60s. And they talk about the wave being part of this feel.
Eins, zwei, drei, vier. Niemand.
Das ist sehr schön. The Kraftwerk, Das Model, The Model. From their 7th studio album, Die Menschenmaschine, also known internationally as The Man Machine. It was released in May 1978 by Kling Klang in Germany and Capitol Records elsewhere.
Kling Klang Studios, classic.
Yeah.
Dusseldorf.
Yeah.
You know, Kraftwerk, one of those bands I've always adored, absolutely adored. When they first came out, people thought I was mad because I was a real rocker. I was rock and roll. I had long hair. I had hair. That's one thing.
Long
I needed
hair,
long.
Flares.
Flares, leather flares, caftans, flying V, Marshall amps, very fucking loud. And then this came out, and everybody thought, and I thought, and this was really what got me into synthesizers. And very recently, we've got back into synthesizers because we have a whole bunch of them here now, analog synths. And when I listen to that record, I think, oh, right, he's got the release turned down on that filter a little bit here. And I've been... We've both been furiously trying to get into learning how to create great sounds from these things. You know, we've got sequential artists, and we've got Prophet 5, we've got a Tempest Drum Machine, we've got some Moogs, we've got a vintage Moog from a friend of ours, Adriano, Opus 3, we've got a Matriarch and a Waldorf SVC. And it's really cool what we're doing, because we're doing something completely new, and I feel very... released by what we're doing. I think we're doing something that perhaps I should have done a long time ago, but I didn't have you. And I think now we're doing something together, which is, I think it's really, really cool. You know, lesser guitars, more synth.
It feels like we've got an orchestra working with an orchestra. And then we've got like Mad Professors on the side doing field recordings and Mad Professor or us. And it just feels like... we can make the sounds we want to tell the stories with now. That it just feels like it's just, I feel liberated.
Yeah. And we're not frightened of samples. We're not frightened of sampling stuff and, you know, real live sounds, you know. Like, it really has been tremendous for me. I feel a big weight has been taken off.
We are grinning like
shoulders, yeah. And I say weight because the weight of you know, this whole guitar playing thing. You know, I'm still playing a lot of guitar on the record, but it's a different feel, isn't it? It's a different thing. I'm more playing more parts again.
Yeah,
you know, right, like being a session musician again, really. So I'm playing a part rather than actually, you know, playing solos and that sort.
And
of
now
thing.
We've opened it up, so there's no specific genre. I'm back to singing a lot more as well because it's just the natural thing that we're doing. It's very much. Who knows? Well, you'll hear it soon enough.
You will indeed.
But do you know what I was going to say about the Kraftwerk thing, right? Do you know what Kraftwerk means?
Go on.
Power station.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Voll. No, I didn't know that either. So there you are.
So the Kraftwerk were formed in Düsseldorf in 1970 by Ralf Hutter and Florian Schneider. And, you know, as we know, they're considered to be the innovators and pioneers of electronic music. Now, we're talking about the catalyst. You know, at the moment, we've got this inspiration going on in our musical creativity. They visited an exhibition about visual artists Gilbert and George. And they said...
No.
Yes.
They're two of my favourite artists. I did a blog article on them years ago. Anyway.
So exciting. See, this is all synergy.
I didn't know this. Okay.
They said they saw two men wearing suits and ties, claiming to bring art into everyday life. So that same year, they started bringing everyday life into art, and that's when they formed Kraftwerk. Jawohl. See, it makes sense. So what I would say is, well, I get so excited about this, I can hardly breathe, but there were two versions in German and English, so we played you the Deutsch one, because also the show syndicated, the Supertong show was syndicated around the world, and we are also broadcasting in Deutschland.
Yes, two stations.
It's really exciting. So that was released as a single in 1978, and then in 1981, to coincide with the release of their studio album, Computer Welt. Now, this is the power of radio back in those days as well. I'm not sure if it's the same now. But it was originally released as the B-side to the new album, the title track Computer Love. But the DJs preferred the B-side. So EMI repackaged it and re-released it with the Model as the A-side. And it went to number one in the UK and number four in Ireland and number seven in West Germany.
Well, it's tremendous. And they did meet David Bowie, didn't they?
Yeah, and Brian Eno,
And there was talk of collaboration with Eno and him, but it didn't in happen. Mm. But I just love it. And we did a little show on them a couple of years ago because Florian Schneider died.
Yeah.
Then I think it was 2020. He was a founding member of the band, of course. And, you know, but it's been a great story for us, and it's just a great groove, great feeling, great music. Starlight and Campbell, Our Lips Are Sealed, the new single released on Friday, the 3rd of March, 2023 on Supertone Records. Who are these people? It's us!
It is!
Holy shit! We've got a new single out.
We have!
And that was it. And, well, we're very excited. It came out on Friday, and we thought we'd put it on the show tonight. Why not? It's our show. We can do what we like. And it's every time we listen to it, certainly me, every time I listen to it, I compare it with what's gone on. And we've just had one of the greatest bands of all time on Kraftwerk. And then we have the audacity to come out after them. But, you know, we're very proud of it, and it sounds great. Well, one interesting thing about that record, because just going back, and I nearly slipped up in the link before, and we're talking about sampling and stuff. And on that, we have sampled Susie's voice.
Yeah.
And what we did is she sang all these different notes and and then no autotune or anything. We just got them right, and we created this virtual instrument called a Starlatron. which, if you know anything about music, technology, there's this device called the Mellotron, which was used heavily by, well, everybody used it. Strawberry Fields by the Beatles is one of the most famous. Of course, the Moody Blues used it extensively throughout the career, and because it was a way of actually recording real instruments like violins and choirs and stuff and playing them back on a keyboard. It was basically bits of tape.
Yeah.
A very bizarre thing. We've used them in the studio. They're really cool. But we've brought it right up to 2023 and we're using, you know, basically samples and using this, you know, virtual instrument. So yeah. It's absolutely great. And on there as well is the Moog guitar, which is like this thing that's very high and glistening. And so we're using a lot of technology. But we recorded this last year when we were just thinking about a journey on, you know, to start like one of our new projects.
Yeah. So we've got Steve Gibson on drums and our Italian friend, Gabriele Del Vecchio, who lives in Valencia, Spain.
Yeah.
On piano. And
And that's it. So, yeah. But it's very simple production. It all came from a jam because we were just messing about in the studio when we were recording Language of Curiosity and we started playing around.
This song, we've always loved it. I mean, yeah. It was part of my youth. And I didn't realise that. Obviously, we were going to release it a couple of months ago, but sadly Terry Hall died on the 18th of December and we just thought, nah, it's the wrong time. And so this was recorded before then. And we in love for the song and in respect for the song, it was written by Terry and Jane Weedlin.
Of the Go-Go's.
Mm. And what I didn't know, though, Terry, when he was born in Coventry, his family were Jewish Germans. And so he said that Coventry was very much a melting pot. Mm. And so, you know, and he's very well known for the sort of two-tone, that sort of multicultural, you know, crossing of bridges. And I just think, I mean, the story apparently is a romance, but I think it can be about a lot of things right now. I think it's still, the lyrics are very contemporary and you can see them talking about us.
Well, I, one thing that I remember about this session, though, and it still makes me laugh, it was Steve Gibson. when we were putting the drums down,
I know what you're going to say.
There's the tom beat comes all the way through. And it's quite low in the mix, in actual fact. I didn't want to make it too high, but it's all the way through the track. And Steve was furiously trying to play this dum 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 and play the groove with the hi hats and everything at the same time. And it's quite intense.
Well, he was really sweating.
He was really sweating, and it was starting to get on top of him. And I said to him, Steve, do you think that floor tom's overdubbed? And he looked at me with that old fashioned look. So what we did is that he played the groove, which is great. And then he did the toms overdub afterwards, which is really cool. But
yeah, it's true. Do you know what we've done as well this time? We've released it for the first week on Bandcamp only because we love Bandcamp. It supports artists.
Yeah.
And Radiohead on there. And it was Bandcamp Friday. And we thought, well, let's just put it out there. So it's there.
And you can find it on our website if you go to starlight-campbell.com.
That's you and I.
And then /links, you'll see all the links to all the stuff that we do, and you'll be able to have a look then. Let's stay together.
just came to see
Let's Stay Together, released as a single in November 1971 by High Records. It reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100 and remained in the charts for 16 weeks. It also topped the Billboard's R&B charts for 9 weeks. Huge. What a song. And they also released the album Let's Stay Together in the next year in January 72.
Absolutely amazing. What a voice. What instrumentalist? Because it's difficult to imagine what it must have been like, because they were doing all this live, and they had a lot of session bands. They had bands that, you know, in-house bands that were doing this stuff, and it's that the playing on that is almost perfect. You know, I love that little drum build-up just before the chorus. He sort of does do 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 on the toms just to lift it that little bit, and the guitar is so perfect. There's some little figures in there, and just beautiful. And the groove,
doesn't it make you feel good?
Yeah, it does make you feel good, and it makes you feel it's a wholesome,
kind
sound. You know, it's beautiful. Love. And we visited this very studio, didn't we?
Well, we did. Well, The Outside. It was produced by Willie Mitchell and recorded at Royal Studios, which is an old movie theatre in South Memphis. Mm. And we were in Memphis last May, I think it was, May 2022. We went over for the International Blues Awards, and we were guests of the Memphis Blues Society.
We were.
And Mark Caldwell, great chap, he picked us up because we were staying in downtown Memphis. And we were on our way to the Radio Memphis studios because we were going to do a live session. They got a bass, didn't they, and some guitars. A guitar for you.
We did, yeah.
And anyway, Mike, so I'm just going to do a quick detour. So we ended up sort of pulling down this one road, and there was, don't stay long, but this is where Aretha Franklin was born, and it literally was like the size of a garden shed. Mm. And it had some silk flowers on and a Paddington bear and some notes to this sort of fence gate. And then we drove down the road, past a few police cars and different people, and then the next thing you know, and this is a Royal Studios, and we just jumped out, and it was all closed up. Obviously, I don't know if anyone was working there, but we were like, "Oh no, we need to come back." I mean, it's just, but what an experience just to be around that place where the streets are much wider than they are in Britain. It's like there's more space, and there's a completely different vibe. It really. You can't imagine it. It's an honour, actually.
It is. It's incredible. And you know, the hotbed of music that's been in that town or city for so long, you know.
Yeah.
And Reverend Green, Al, born in Arkansas in 1946, 6 out of 10 children.
10 kids.
He was kicked out of the family home while in his teens after devoutly religious father, caught him listening to Jackie Wilson and threw him out of the house because of that. Wow. He loved gospel music, especially the Hip Shakers, Wilson Pickett, and Elvis the Pelvis Presley. In high school, he formed a vocal group called Al Green and the Creations, which changed its name to Soulmates. And the single Backup Train went to number 46 in the R&B charts. And then he met Willie Mitchell and signed to his label in 1969.
So this is fortuitous as well, because what I like about the story of Willie Mitchell is that he realised that Al was trying to sing like Jackie Wilson, his heroes like Sam Cooke and Wilson Pickett and James Brown. So he decided to become his vocal mentor, and he coached him into finding his own voice.
And what a voice it was. And the thing about that track as well that always I always remember
that?
Is that when old Tina Turner did a cover of it in the early 1883, I think it was, and it's produced by Heaven 17 and Martin Ware and Greg Walsh. They actually produced it, and I remember seeing him on Top of the Pops, and it was a great version, you know.
I mean,
really great,
beautiful. What a version, Tina Turner. At that time, she just shone. So, like, between both beautiful and perfect.
The road is long.
The Hollies, He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. It was released as a single on the 26th of September in 1969 on Capitol Records. Went to number 3 in the UK and number 7 in the USA. Now, that's a big achievement to get a top 10 hit in America at that time.
Especially when you're from Manchester, because these guys are from Manchester.
Whoa, go on, lads.
And the original members, of course, were Alan Clark, the singer, and Graham Nash.
Yeah.
That went on to Crosby, Stills and Nash, of course. We had him on the show.
Well, Alan and Graham Nash met at primary school, and they started doing like this, you know, when the skiffle craze started in the late 50s, the same as the Beatles, everyone was doing that skiffle thing.
Yeah.
And so they got a band together called the Deltas, and then they were doing this gig in Manchester, the Oasis.
Wow.
I wonder whether or not, I'm not saying anything. So they decided to call themselves the Hollies after Buddy Holly and Christmas.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So, recorded by Kelly Gordon in 1969, the song became a worldwide hit for the Hollies later that year, and also a hit for Neil Diamond in 1970.
And they got their break. They had to go to Liverpool to get their break, though, which is weird. I've been, actually, I used to work in Liverpool, and I've been down the Cavern Club when it was like Beatles weekend, and there was a guy called Ron Richards who talent scouted them when they were played there in January 63. So, and Ron was involved in the first Beatles session, so that he kind of kickstarted their career, that's the dream, isn't it? That's a story that happens when, you know, you're playing a gig and someone's in the audience. That happened to you. It happens to lots of people.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
Well, it's one of the record industry fairy tales.
I know Bobby Elliott because I bumped into him a few times in Manchester.
The drummer.
And Tony Hicks, the guitar player. They used to hang out sometimes at Pluto, the studio where I used to work quite a lot.
Do you realise as well that Elton John played piano on that track?
I did not.
Yeah, Reg Dwight. He was a session player at the time.
He's played with everybody, hasn't he? They've played with everybody, the Hollies. They're like the most famous, unfamous band you've ever heard of. You need to check them out on Wikipedia.
I'm overwhelmed. We're going to have to play some more because there's too much information to put in the show. I mean, Alan Clark was on harmonica as well, which is just totally amazing.
Okay, well, that's the end of the show for this week, I'm afraid. Don't forget to check out our blog, Vibes, vibes.starlight-campbell.com.
And we're going to finish this week's show with a brand new band called Dry Cleaning from South London. They recorded the album at Rockfield Studios in Monmouth.
We've worked there.
Yeah. And it's taken from the second studio album, Stumpwork, released on 4AD Records. This is Hot Penny Day.
The road from a boot fair, wouldn't that be something? If I'm thin as a beanpole, I can slip through the fence. I'm not here to provide blank, they can fucking provide blank. Our relationship, well, it's not what you think it is. Day. Hooked over man, woolen woman. I don't want to empty your bank account and give you nightmares, but I guess I don't ever ask for what I want. I see male violence everywhere. Beautiful face, softness. I think big soft bed club, hazmat suit, yeah. Health first. These exposed wires all good, near the sting. Hooked over man, woolen woman. I don't want to empty your bank account and give you nightmares, but we're in the middle of what they call three financial eclipses. Is it still okay to call you my disco pickle? To recognise a smile, try thinking of it. Chameleon or a Pac-Man. What's her name over there says, don't forget to bring back the blue sheet. Can't you see I'm trying? I was having a good time and I didn't go to bed. trying. Can't you see my bloodshot eyes? Bad taste, bad horse head tea. Every day I've been to the top of a mountain. There's fire there every single day. Kick drum. Sometimes I feel like I'm just a loner, and that's that stiff undergarment.